Blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I'm gonna magnify my Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. I'm gonna magnify, oh, let's magnify my Lord, for he is worthy, he is so worthy to be praised. Oh, I'm gonna magnify my Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, the Lord, he liveth. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Lord, he liveth. Blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation. The Lord, he liveth. Oh, yes, the Lord, he liveth.
Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Lord, he liveth. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. It's good to be in the house. You may be seated. As a matter of fact, give me a key of A. Let's sing the splendor. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light.
Hallelujah.
And darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great.
Lift your hands up with me tonight. Just praise him.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. Our God,
age to age he stands, in every age he stood.
Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. God had three
the lion and the lamb. How great is our God? Is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He's the name above all names. So worthy. Worthy of all our praise. Yes, my heart will sing. How great is our God. Let's sing that one more time. He's the name above all names. He's the name above all names. So worthy. So worthy of all praise. Yes, my heart will sing. How great is our God. How great is our God. Yes, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead, Brother Seth.
Amen. I am so excited to be here. I have been looking forward to Wednesday night all day. All day. I tell you, I am so excited, and I got the privilege of being out there and talking to those brothers. I tell you what, if I wasn't turned on before, if I wasn't excited before, I had a little taste of some, you're going to have to hold for a second. Lord, you said when you went into Canaan's land, there was no more manna.
Right.
Once we are moved past, we're not spoon-fed.
No.
Do you understand that, bride? Yeah. Do you understand you're not being spoon-fed?
Yes.
You're not, someone's not patting your back and making sure it's okay.
Oh.
You're over here telling the devil what it is.
Yeah.
You said, guess what, Satan?
Yeah.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do when you get a group of people together like that?
Yeah,
huh? Who can look all the way back? Look all the way back. Not just stop at God, all the way back to the eternal one, before the foundation of God. What are you going to do with a group of people like that? But not just look back. Oh, wait, there's more. We can look all the way forward. All the way forward. I tell you what, you try to, what shall stand against you now? What's standing against us?
Amen.
We should be the most ramrod, straight back people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should walk in here, and it's not out of because you're holier than thou. It's not because of your works. It's because, guess what? You kept the faith.
Yeah.
You pushed.
Yeah.
You pushed. Through all,
let's just do
for today. You know, you pushed through Wednesday. You got up this morning.
Right.
You went to work. You dealt with the spirits of the world. You had to deal with the kids. You had to get dinner ready. You had, who knows? Who cares?
Who cares?
Guess what?
You made it.
You're here.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what happened. Because all that matters is what you did with his word.
That's it.
That's the only thing he looks at. He's not looking about how you lived.
My.
He's not looking about how you dress. That's you can manufacture that. You can look real good. The devil looks better than me.
Oh, yeah.
He looks real good.
Oh, yeah.
He knows the Bible better than I do.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what, this is what I can do. I can read between the lines.
Yeah.
I can read between the lines. Because he said, Seth's in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not this flesh, though.
No.
There's something within me. Something within me. And it's even funny because I even know how that was placed. He knows. He's sitting back there. I love what Brother Morris did in South Carolina. He was sitting there like, and I now know. It just makes it so real because you know what? We know. You know because it's by your choice. At first, I thought I was like, oh, I guess I, like Johanna said, I thought I hit the lottery. I guess I have no choice. I guess I'll just be here. But you know what? You make a choice. I want to be here. I want, you know, because he says, I finished my course.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't finished my course yet. No. I have a job to do.
That's right.
I have a group of people who's waiting for me, who's singing that song, How Great Is My God.
Yes.
It's our God, but you got to make it personal. How great is my God?
My God.
My God's pretty good.
Yeah.
My God's good. He got me up. I woke up. Yeah, that's enough right there. You woke up. You're breathing. You have a job to do. That means if you've got breath, where there's breath, there's life, there's hope. There's got a job to do. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit down on God?
No.
Are you going to come in here after all the stuff that he spoon-fed you? He's telling these little secrets.
Yeah.
You know, one of these little secrets is going to be enough to where you're going to have a change.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I'm not coming just, and I love the fellas, don't get me wrong. But I'm coming to hear what God's going to tell me tonight. I come in, if we're all talking about we've gone to Canaan's land, that's my promised land. Where's my mountain? What else? You know, I was talking to them out there. I'm at such a point right now, I don't need a scripture. I don't need a quote. I don't. I don't. He says it's time to go. I'm like, let's go. I have nothing. I'll lay it down right now. Job, work, family, money.
All of it.
Let's go. Let's go. Because there's a greater thing out there for me.
Oh, my.
There's a greater reward. I'm not looking for riches here.
No.
He says if this was my home, he would send someone to fight for me.
Sure.
It'd be a perfect place because he's not going to have his wife go through here and struggle. No, who would do that? Nobody. But he says if you can get in that condition, just believe that word. And guess what we're doing right now? Believing. Every word. Every word. It's not knowledge. It's revelation. And it's a funny thing, though, is the only one that can reveal it to you is God. So you're going to, the songs term, I can't even get past myself because I look about it because, you know, all I have to do is believe. I'm in the middle of reading the seven church ages, and I see all that Brother Branham did, how he put the scriptures here and the scriptures there and revealed this here. I'm like, all I have to do is believe it. Amen. Amen. I didn't have to do studying. I didn't have to die on a cross.
Nope.
I didn't have to die to lions or burned at a stake. I didn't have to go through plagues and pestilence. I stepped out of struggle into peace. So the funny thing is, though, is if you're still struggling, it's because you choose to. Brother Jim had the perfect example. It's that spam. Devil's a spam caller. And you make the choice whether you answer it. You make the choice because you, when they answer the phone and they, oh, no, you already know what the voice sounds like. You know what the voice sounds like. You can click hang up. But if you choose from your free moral agency to entertain that phone call, that's on you. That's on you. Whoever you yield your members to. Who do you, I mean, I'm just saying, in your scripture, if you say it's in the Bible.
Amen.
I'm just saying if... And according to his phone, it already says potential spam. My phone's not that smart, I guess. But I am so thankful. I get to make it here one more time. Because this is an opportunity where you can say, I'm one of them. That's all it is. You just got to identify with it. Lay your hands on it. And be like, you know what? I believe this. This is nothing but the truth. I accept every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I don't pick through it. Because all we're hearing here is pure word.
Amen.
I don't have any doubts.
None.
You can't talk me out of it.
Amen.
You can't take it away from me. I am so excited. And you have to push past it. Because at 7:30 at night, you're tired.
Yes.
Bones hurt. You're cold. He wants praise.
That's right.
He wants to fellowship with his bride.
Yeah.
He wants to be one with us.
Yes.
I don't want us to be stingy.
No.
I want to be in such a, like, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Because it's not my life. Not my will. Not my will, but thine be done. I truly understand what that meant. Because I could have made a choice. that I just like, you know what? Wednesday, I'll just stay home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't. Just like Jesus could have been like, well, you know what? I'd rather go be a carpenter. I mean, can we just, I am thankful for the choices that I make.
Yes. Amen.
I am thankful for the person that I am. I'm thankful that we are so unique, so individual, that we have unique characteristics that are just full manifestation of what God wanted.
Oh, my.
And no one's cookie cutter here.
No, the only
thing that's cookie cut here is that revelation, because it's the same.
Yeah.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. But our perspectives are different.
Oh,
the way
yes.
we word things, because you know what? You saying that spam call could have triggered something, and now someone understands. But you know what? Thank you for an opportunity. I'm sorry. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Sitting back there, it's a long walk. But I am so thankful that this church doors are open. I'm thankful the lights are on. I'm thankful that I've met the criteria. It says two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst. And he's in the midst. I've already heard from him.
Oh, yeah.
So, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Tommy.
He would put me behind Seth. So, yeah, I just wanted to get up here and say praise Jesus tonight. And that's so crazy because that's a great analogy. That's a great analogy. And it's like I'm just so thankful to be here tonight, to make it here tonight, because the past 2 days I felt like a full seven already, you know. And I'm thankful for the whole body, but I'm also thankful to see Brother Jay tonight again. And I'm really thankful for Brother Isaiah because, you know, working with him day in and day out, man, it's just another fighter, you know what I mean, another believer, another person to grab the phone out of my hand when I want to pick up and smash it on the ground and right in front of me and rebuke me right there, you know. So just praise God. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Go ahead, sis.
God bless you. I am beyond grateful to be here. I give God all the praise. I'm glad I'm chosen. I'm glad I chose him.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad to be one of them. And I just wanted to bring a praise report because I got a call from Joyce today. Robert himself told me to tell you thank you for that prayer cloth.
Amen.
He's speaking. He can move his left side. He's in therapy. He's moved out of the hospital.
Amen.
He's in a rehab. And then also Randy, Darsha's husband, does not have cancer. So God answers prayer. And I'm just thankful to be here. I love this place. I'm glad to be home.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be here too. You know, I think about this body, and we're doing that Thanksgiving meal, and this is my family. We're a strong group of people. And I was thinking about Seth. In January, everybody wants to lose weight. They all go to the gym. You know, and in January, the gym is full of lots of different people. They're not strong. They're weak. They're moving around. By December, it's only the strong people left, you know? Only the people who can endure. And this is December now, and we are all strong, you know? We're all...
Amen.
It's a muscle. You know, faith is a muscle. It, when God does things all the time, it's not even hard. And you have to hold him to that. It's a law. It's as much a law as law of gravity. That if I put faith on that, God is obligated to do that, you know? And I was sitting there thinking, and when I first came to church, I was not planning on bringing anything. And I was like, shame on you, Elise.
Amen.
You're going to come to this table and not bring a side dish? Get it together.
Oh,
you know, he's done too much for me. And, you know, that song stirred me up. And I was thinking about all the things that I know. You know, it's like amazing. Like Seth was saying, I know the past, I know the present, and I know the future. You know, and thank God for that. And, you know, the whole choice thing gets me so excited. Because, like Johanna said, I thought it was a lottery, you know. And occasionally people would fall off and be like, oh, no, you know. I get to make this choice, you know, and that's so exciting to me because I think it scared people that they had to make a choice, but it excites me because I get to make this choice. I get to choose this. This is what I want to do. And, you know, I was thinking it's the end of the year. You know, we're getting close. We're doing Thanksgiving, and then we're thinking about New Year's. It's happening so fast. And I think about the beginning of the year to now. I have grown so much. And, you know, the year of dedication, God has just taking all those things that used to, you know, be so important, they don't mean anything, you know? Nothing is more important than this. And I used to think, yeah, this is number one, but it just becomes more and and more. And I was wondering if, I know that we have more people testifying, we could sing, I keep falling in love with him. because every day he does more and more, and I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over again.
Amen. 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 Sister Clarice, go ahead.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, so keep on the fiery line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. I so keep on the fiery line. There are many battles that we all must face. But if you die a fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the fiery line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fiery line. Now, you know, the next verse of the song, I don't even know if I remember all the words, but it starts out like this. God will only use a soldier he can trust. So keep on the fiery line. If you wear a crown, we'll wear the cross you must. Keep on. I can't see the rest of that. What it say? What it say?
Life is but a labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service. Fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Amen. Go ahead, sis.
I'm just glad to be here. You know, I was thinking, we have this like inside joke at home where AJ always says that I'm spoiled because anytime I pray, God gives me what I ask for. And, you know, just these like past 2 weeks, we've been battling sickness. So I'm happy to finally have my voice back and praise God. But I was just thinking, you know, how everyone's been touching on it, but we talk about the choice that we have. And that's been something that's been just so empowering to me, like they said, because, you know, when I was younger, I always used to think to myself, like, why did God do this the way he did? You know, when he could have just, you know, did everything the perfect way. And, you know, it was always just something, but I don't have that question anymore. You know, I have the revelation and an understanding, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the fact that even if God never answers another one of my prayers, I have this revelation. I have the rest Amen. That comes with this revelation. Amen. And it's a peace that this world cannot take away. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Oh, Brother Jackson, God bless you.
I just want to say that when I go to church, and how God clears my mind, and I just love it. And not really anything else, but God bless you.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, it's good to be in my promised land. You know, every time we look at it, we see it a little bit more clear.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all the wandering around in the wilderness is behind me. Amen. All the unbelievers fall past off the scene. Right, yes. And I'm resting in my Amen. Promised land. I'm fully persuaded. I don't have any problem at all. You know, Brother Graham said that, you know, the new birth, it just changes your dwelling place. You know, my soul is swung back to the Garden of Eden. Yes. I have fellowship with God. And, you know, so I'm just looking for that last little change. I'm just moving. It's me.
Yeah.
But I'm just moving to my new house.
Yeah.
And, but right now, I'm resting.
Yes.
I don't see how I can rest anymore. I really don't. You know, I've accepted the word. completely. You know, not my will, but His will be done. And, you know, I'm trusting Him every step of the way. And nothing can separate me from this. You know, it's not a struggle and a battle like it used to be, you know, just having to, you know, pull yourself back and everything. I'm resting. Amen. And when you're resting, there's no struggle to it. You just sit back and relax, you know. And in this revelation of this word, that's exactly what I'm doing. Just sitting back and relaxing and fully enjoying it. You know, and it's just me and the Lord. It's not, you know, no disrespect, but it's not me and everybody else. It's not me and the congregation. It's me. You know, and that rest that I have, and that rest that each one of us have, that perfect personal rest each one of us have, that's what makes the body. That's what gives us such an understanding, such a strong body. Because I look at the others, you know, get to talking like Seth and Jim out there talking, you know, and just, one accord, bang, 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 bang. You think we've been practicing this all day long, you know, to say this, and it just flows out. And it's just, I'm at peace. I'm just ready to go home. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing Falling in Love again, key of F. By popular request.
I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over. One more time. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Amen. You may be seated. By way of announcement, so the 17th, this Sunday, after service, we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate our own little Thanksgiving. Because the world, you know, they have their own thing, but, you know, we get to have our own thing in here, you know. Whatever happens in here stays in here. So just again, contact Sister Elise, shoot her a text, whatever you're gonna bring, and then she'll make sure that she expects your dish. Okay.
Amen.
And then we got Christmas songs Sunday, December 22nd, evening service. Contact me, shoot me a text, or you can give me a call with whatever song that you guys want to bring. I've already had several, you know, there's only so many songs, so I've already had several, six people have already called me. So get your song in today. And there will be no service. This is really sad to announce. No service Wednesday, December 25th. So we'll see you that next Sunday, maybe. Yeah, Lord willing. New Year's service will be on the 31st of December. Food will be served at 6 o'clock, and then service to follow at 8. Normally, it's like 7:30 because y'all are crazy. And, that's the announcements. Oh, yeah. Kids practice is tomorrow at 7.
Oh, How I Love Jesus, Kia G, and then we'll get him up. Amen. God bless the testimonies. This place never fails to get my head turned on straight. I love you all. I truly do.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to say its worth. It sounds like music.
How I love Jesus.
Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how I love to hear. Sing that. Singing, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Yes, oh, how
our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship and praise you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, move the hearing the speaker out of the way. Remove all the distractions of the world. Just give us an opportunity to just worship you in peace, Lord, with just no distractions, just to hear your word. Lord, you know what we're waiting on. Lord, remember the prayer requests. Thank you, Lord, for the answered prayers already, Lord. Like Sister Kara said, we're spoiled, and we thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for the prayer requests that have been spoken. And, Lord, touch those that have been unspoken as well. Touch those that are here and touch those that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, bless the body around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. Really appreciate the testimonies. God really blessed. I'm glad to be a part of this church. This is a great place to be a part of. You know, when they were talking about the, Brother Seth was talking about the manna. And I got a kick out of that because he used that term spoon-fed. You know, that's a baby. There's a time all of us were spoon-fed, so to speak. You know, I know we always say, you eat meat. But you were spoon-fed even the meat. You were spoon-fed. There was a time period in the beginning is when you're spoon-fed. But praise God, I'm not spoon-fed anymore. That got me thinking about it. And I'll get started here in a second. But it just got me thinking. I was like, when you are spoon-fed, that means you're waiting on somebody else to eat. You're not. You don't have the ability to go get it. You don't have the confidence to know where it is. Like when you talk about even animals, when you can't hunt, that you just sit there and wait. When you're a baby, you sit there and wait. You can't even get yourself ready. There's a lot of things that go into saying that. And I thought, man, praise God, I can get myself ready. Praise God, you got to come to a point where your bride can make herself ready. I can eat for myself now. I can discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error for myself now. I don't need you to interpret what the pastor said. I don't need you to break down what the pastor said. I don't need you to reread what the pastor said. When I hear it, I'll know what it is. I'm strong enough to pick it up myself. I can hear the truth for myself and say amen for myself. Even when that blind boy was healed, they went to him and his parents even had to say, hey, stop talking to me. Go see him. He's of age. He can speak for himself about what happened. He's of age. That's how it is right now. What's going on in Fairborn? What's happening over there? I can speak for myself. There was a time. I can go back. I can go back. There was a time that they would preach and I'd go, nah, you got to go talk to Brother Childers about that. Oh, you got a question? You better go see your pastor about that. Oh, you got a question? You better talk to your husband at home about that. There was a time, as we all have grown. But now, even if I'm a wife, a sanctified wife can sanctify the husband. And if I'm a husband, a home is sovereign. And it rules itself. I mean, I got too many scriptures to back up that you got to be able to stand on your own. I got too many scriptures to say that you shouldn't be waiting on somebody else to do it. I got too many scriptures to say that be strong and courageous. Go forward. Do the job. Do what I sent you to do. Oh, my. So I love what we get here. And I even thought about that, you know, when you're talking about being able to look all the way back and look forward. You know, that ability to look back and look forward is the only way you know where you're really at. Right? Like, you know, we talk about it before. You know, we talk about days. I've given an example of the hospital. I've given military. You'd be in a boot camp and you don't know the days. If you don't have a calendar, you really don't know the days. Just throwing that out there. I don't care how good you are. It goes dark to night, to day to light. You can't really keep track of the days. But if somebody tells you what yesterday was, if they say yesterday was the 10th, and they say tomorrow's going to be the 12th, I know today is the 11th. I can figure it out. You give me those two clues, I'm not the greatest at math, but when you put an equation together that I know both sides of it, I can figure out the middle. I know where I'm at. That's the proof that I have what it takes to make it in this hour. Amen. Is the fact that's even the evidence of a new birth, is that you understand your day. You got to know what day it is. You got to even know that there's days. That you understand your day and its message. That's the new birth. Amen. So you can't even have a new birth until you know really where you're at. And you can't know where you're at unless you know where you've been and where you're going. That lets you know the present. You've got to have those tie posts. You know, even when you talk about like compass and learning and maps and reading, the first step you got to find is where you're at on the map. Oh, I can tell you how to get to New York if I know where you're at. It depends on where you're at. If you're in Buffalo, I can tell you how to get there. But if you're in Washington, we might need to look at a bigger map. I'm just telling you how it works. But when I look at this and I say, the world's striving to get to this eight-day condition, and I look around and I say, I'm in it. I know where I'm at. I can speak from where I'm at. Oh, my, my, my. When the world wants peace, I can speak from where I'm at. I have peace. Pastor Moore mentioned about how not in this house. We don't have racial divide in this house. It don't exist. You can't have it. You can't have. Matter of fact, churches are surprised. They're surprised when they see us. Now, we can go all the way back. I can tell you about the times we would go to Dayton, and you'd have Sister Don holding Andrea, Sister Clarice holding Elise, and the people would be looking, and they go, I know who Pastor Moore is, and I know who he said his daughter was, but who's his wife, right? Like, they're trying to place it. Because when we go to those churches in Dayton, you got to remember, guys, we go to a church in Dayton, and the church would be in the basement. I mean, it'd be in somebody's living room. So there wasn't a lot of room to space out. Like, here you space out, right? I can see who's your kid. I can see who you came with. You can space out. But when you're in somebody's house, it's tight. And you're holding on to that baby the whole time, and they didn't know. I'm just telling you, that's years ago. Now we go to South Carolina, and they're looking over, and they go, well, I see Isaiah. Who's his spouse? Who's his kid? Because they're seeing Seth take care of Isaiah's kids, Isaiah taking care of Seth's kid. They never know nothing about us. You can't pigeonhole us. You don't know where we're. Matter of fact, if you're new to this church, you don't even know who the pastor is right now. You really don't. You're looking around like, who is it? Is it Isaiah? Is it Jeremiah? Is it Pastor Moore? Was it Don Deskins at this talk? Is it Brother Jay? Maybe it was Brother Tommy. You don't even know. There's a pastor right there. That's our leadership right there. But that just shows you got a rambunctious group of people that knows what it is. And left to our own devices, we take over the service. But with good leadership, we know how to right and divide this thing. And we're here for the word. And that's what we're here to do. So I'm going to get started. But I praise God for the ability to be able to hear the word of God. So Pastor Moore preached an excellent message this Sunday. We're still reeling from it and appreciating it and having a good time with it. And you guys know I went to Little Bethlehem Sunday, and we had a great time there as well. And we were talking about free moral agency, and it sounds like you guys were talking about free moral agency, and God was talking about free moral agency, even though Pastor Moore was like, hey, I'm trying to go to another subject, but we're still here. And my job is never to change the subject, so I won't have a new subject. So I like to set the table first. Right off the bat, let you know what you're getting tonight. You're getting free moral agency. Now, title's going to be different. The scriptures we read is going to be different. But trust me, even if it sounds like a different thought, I'm talking about free moral agency. I like to put the devil on notice like that in the beginning. I like to let him know what he's working with in the beginning. Let you know you got somebody that's on your hands that I'm staying right and I'm staying. I know how leadership works. If you really know how leadership works, every job is easy. If you really know, if you tap into that, take away your ego, take away your personality, take away all that. Take away all your head knowledge and tap into what leadership is. It makes everything easy. A job is easy because the leader should have it set up. You want me to do what? Describe it in detail. You want me to that's even what the leader will put together a job description before you even get there for the job. It'll say everything I want you to do. Anything not on this paper, don't worry about it. If I say you got to hold the door, don't worry about the back door. I just want you to hold the front door. So if the back door is left open, that ain't my job. That's not my job. I don't even have to. It's not even my job to worry about it. It can stay open all day. If my job is to put the heat on, that's all I'm supposed to do. That's all. If it gets too hot in here, I'm waiting for the air guy to come in. Right? I'm just telling you in the simple terms of just doing your job. If you just focus on that, it makes everything else so easy. And normally when I've been in workplaces, normally you get in the most trouble when everybody's trying to do somebody else's job or leading when they're not supposed to be the leader. It's like, what are you doing? Go back to do your job. Stop telling everybody else what you should be doing your job so well that you can't even see everybody else. And that's how I treat it when I come to church. I just do my job only. That's it. So anyway, let's get started. Standing on the promises of God, what Pastor Moore preached about. And I love the examples when he talked about even Brother Branham, you know, liking him to Moses, like getting us there. And I thought, man, Wow. Because he still gets the, I mean, even that type runs all the way through. You can, Moses, a vindicated prophet. God moved well with Moses. There was groups of people that witnessed Moses in action. You couldn't say he wasn't with God. You could see it clearly. Even an unbeliever could see that Moses. Pharaoh eventually had to believe that Moses had God with him. Eventually, Pharaoh got to the point where he was like, I don't even want to fight you and your God. Get out. That Pharaoh even had to believe it. But I thought about that. I thought, man, but what if, you know, and we talk about those great stories of people doing their job, but when the whole group does their job, it changes everything. Even you think about Moses and Brother Branham, that's one person. That wasn't in a group. I know some message people get mad about this, but not a lot of people really follow Brother Branham. I'd have to say it. Because they didn't stay with him. They didn't stay with the word. You can't tell me you followed Brother Branham and fell off. That's like saying you followed Moses but didn't go with Joshua. Joshua was doing the same thing Moses told him to do. We're doing what Brother Branham preached about. If you're not here, you didn't stay with him. That's the evidence that you didn't believe. You left him because you didn't believe him. But Brother Branham, right? But after him, other people had to do their jobs. If Brother Childers, when he heard this message, had just said, oh, I'm too embarrassed to share this with anybody. I don't want to, it's not my nature to really go out there. I'm not really learned, brothers. I don't have a degree in this. And the angel came and talked to me, and I know I got a word from the Lord, but I just hold on to it for a little bit. We're still tonight eating off of that message that Brother Childers had. Right? The word that you're getting from me came from that. Right? That because he did his part. Right? Like he went against everything everybody told him and did his part. Right? And we're benefited from that. Brother, from that point, Brother Childers even helped the whole body around the world. Not just me. There's millions of people that are benefit from that ministry. And the body has benefited from the ministry continuing. That's no matter who is continuing through, the fact that it continues is showing that God's been there. That shows that God's there. Life shows that God's there. That's how you can quickly find out about denominations. When they denominate, it dies. The absence of life shows that God's not there. Life being and present is God. So, and a lot of times people think of, well, this church grows. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about growing in the revelation, understanding your knowledge of the mystery, understanding the Bible, understanding who you are. The power can't just be left in the ministry. If you're somewhere and the power is always in the ministry, you're in the wrong place. I'd have to say it. But anyway, let's keep going through here. But I thought about that, and I thought, man, you know, I love that because there's a group of people, and if you study the Bible and you know any of the Bible stories, we reference this story a lot, but talking about Moses, Moses got the people out of Egypt and got to Kadesh Barnea. And then people fell off. Right as you can see the promised land. Right before the promised land, you can see it. It was so close that he could send spies. And we talked about this last week. And I thought, you know, and I was saying this even in Little Bethlehem. It's kind of weird how these are coming together. But I'm just laying the context here. But even there, it's like when Moses was the only one that was believing God, you were limiting God's ability to move. That's why even Jesus could say, and I know I'm going back and forth here, but that's why Jesus could even say, greater works will you do because it's more of you. That's why he could say greater, because there's going to be more people working, more believers believing the word of God. It allows God to move in a greater work. It's just a greater work. So greater works can be done when you have more people. And that's just the nature of it. But I thought about that the more. I thought, man, we see this all the time. And I thought, when Moses did it, his whole group, he had a group of unbelievers. Like, the believers were the minority. So much so that when they, and, you know, we say the story, and I'm going to try to get through as fast as I can, then I'll get to my scripture. But I thought, you know, when Moses sent the spies, that was those spies went into the land, and they represented the people when they came back as unbelievers. When Moses sent his set of spies, he sent 12 spies. Two of them were Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 were representative of the group. That was the majority. That group was the majority. That 10 that came back, So much so that when they came back as unbelievers, they said, it's giants. We're like grasshoppers. They'll kill us. Right? And this is just for context. We're going to throw this in there and keep moving. But Joshua and Caleb came back. They didn't care about giants. They didn't care about being killed. They said, that's our promised land. God said that's ours. Matter of fact, it's so much ours. Let me talk about the benefits of what we're about to get. The milk and the honey, the grapes, the watermelons. They started talking, and the unbelievers were like, yeah, I hear about the size of the grapes. I hear about the size of the watermelons, but what about those giants? What about this? How big are the walls? What about the gates? How is it hard to get in there? Tell us more. They forgot the promises. But Joshua and Caleb remembered the promises. Now, they didn't get to act on it at that time. They went over as spies, and then they get to Kadesh Barnea, and those people are falling off. They get discouraged. They fall off. Fast forward, Joshua, his group is majority believers. He has a group of believers. Joshua does. And we're going to read some scriptures here, but I'm just still thinking about last Sunday. But when Joshua's spies came back from visiting Rahab, they didn't say, no, we can't take the walls of Jericho. They didn't say, no, they chased us into this house and they're going to take us. They came back and said, hey, yeah, it looks like this. Yeah, we can take it. By the way, Rahab has a promise. That's how that group spoke. Amen. Different than the other group. Totally different. Matter of fact, they didn't even know how they were taking Jericho. They didn't even know. They didn't even care. What weapons should I use? What's that? It don't even matter. When we get there, we'll figure it out. God will promise to take us care of. He's promised. When God promised that group, he gave them a whole better promise. Not only do you get the promised land, you get everywhere you step your feet. Everywhere the sole of your feet are. I'm going to give that to you. They got more than just one land. They got everywhere they went. Their whole way through there. Matter of fact, that's what Rahab even said. She said, I know your God is real. I've heard about what you guys have been doing. I've heard how nobody can stand against you. I've heard about what can happen. And I believe your God to be true. She was a believer. Oh, my. So anyway, let's read a scripture here. And we'll get into this thing here. But I just thought about that. Like, man, we're so blessed. Everything we get in here is amazing. So we're going to go over to Mark chapter 9. And I think I'll be reading in Mark a little bit tonight because I like it. And it's talking about a lot of promises of Jesus. So talking about standing on the promises, it's nice to be reminded of them. But let's go to Mark. I said chapter 9. Yeah, it's chapter 9. We'll go to verse 14. A little bit of reading, but we'll get it. 14 through 23. I'll read quick. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. And the scribes questioning with them. And straight away all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, they went to the disciples, that they should cast him out, and they couldn't. Some demons on somebody. And he answered them, saying, this is Jesus. Now, he'd been up the road a little bit, getting a little tired, so bear with him on this one. He says, O faithless generation. That part right there is what made me want to go to the scripture, because I remember that, and I thought about this generation. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed in foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? So Jesus is evaluating it, looking at it. And he said, as a child. So this has been on this kid the whole time. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's my scripture right there. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That's the title of tonight's message, Just Believe. Because we're talking about, you know, standing on the promises, things that we got to do, keeping this word, holding up that bloodstained banner, this, that, and the third. Everything that is true, those are all true things. But you're only asked to believe. Right? Like, that's all you're asked to do in this hour. And I'm saying that's all, but it is that's all. That's what you really have to do. Like, different ages had different requirements, and we've talked about this before, and I always use Noah and the ark because it's an easy one for people to understand. But you have to only believe. Like, we're not requiring you to lay the foundation again. There's no requirement to make sure this doctrine is right. There's no requirement to build the church ages. There's no requirement to hang the theses. There's no requirement. All these things that we think are requirements, the only requirement is that you can believe. Amen. Believing the Word of God is the only thing that you're required to do, is to believe the Word of God. That's all you have to do, is simply believe the Word of God. All the other tools, all the other things will be provided. We talk about the story of Moses. Moses had a stick in his hand, a staff. That's all he had. When he got there, everything else was provided. By believing God and standing on his promises, everything else was provided. The snakes were provided. The plagues were provided. The darkness was provided. The angel of death was provided. The frogs were provided. The blood and the water were provided. Those were all provided. Amen. Moses didn't make it happen. Moses didn't work it up. He didn't do something to the water. He didn't do something to the staff that was already provided. You don't have to reinvent the Bible. You don't got to write the church age books. You don't have to do any of these things. You are simply here in this hour to believe the Word of God so that the scripture that says, "Will I find faith when I return to the earth?" is fulfilled through you. That's how God does it. He does it through you. Through you. See, a lot of times people get caught up thinking God needs you. And there's two sides to that. He needs me if he's using me. That's when he needs me, when he's using me. If he said I was going to do something, then he does need me to get that job done. But that job is going to happen, whether it happens on a day that I want to do it, a day that I'd like to do it, a day that I hope I can do it, a day that I'm prepared to do it. It's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. It's got to happen. When he said the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, a lamb was going to be slain. No matter what, that was going to come into manifestation. It was going to happen. Now, a lot of times we get caught up thinking, well, somebody else can do it. No, nobody else can do it like you do it. Nobody else can do it like you do it. You're the believer. I don't know if you're a believer. I know I am. Right? So if God asks me to do something, then it's just on me to do it. He's going to provide everything. He'll provide the patience. He'll provide the attitude. He'll provide the resources. He'll provide the money. He'll provide the knowledge. He'll provide all that. Amen. Oh, Brother Jay, where do you get off on saying that? I've seen it happen. He provided, Brother. You think Brother Branham could have wrote the 7 church age books? With a 7th, 8th grade education? Come on. Are you serious? I think I got the copy up here of the church age. 300-400 pages? That'd be hard for any 6th grader. Right now with the internet and Google to write a coherent book that's going to stand the test of time for years, cut it out. That's supernatural, right? Like, God had to do that. God knew that we would need this, and he put it together for us. That's God doing. Now, and I look at all these things, and I'm like, man, what? Food in the store. He's already provided. That's what it means. And Brother James Bond was telling me about the history of the words one time. There was a Jehovah Jireh, or something. I forget how it went. God's place. But he's provided. He's already provided. Yeah, God will provide. He always does. He does it in advance. The ram was waiting in a bush when Abraham got there. A lot of times everybody thinks it's going to be this poof and magic. No, that's not how God works. He always provides. You get somewhere and you go, oh, I never saw it like that. It's been there the whole time. It's been there the whole time. Matter of fact, you know, we talk about Elohim. It's been there the whole time. We talk about what happened in the book of Genesis. It's been there the whole time. We're revealing what's happening in the book of Revelation. Talk about the whore on 7 hills, what Russia's going to do. It's been there the whole time. It wasn't just added. It's been there the whole time. We're waking up to that fact, but it doesn't make it new information. It's been there the whole time. We're just we're just enjoying these promises that we're learning about. Amen. And I thought, man, let's look at some of these examples. And so, like, even when I'm looking at examples, like, I may give some bad examples about people that went against God's promises, but I'm kind of like, there's this TV channel called Tubi, and it says it's free for everybody. It's free for good kids, and then it shows like these bad kids throwing rocks through the window, and says, and it's free for the bad kids. It's free for the good parents, and it's free for the bad. It's basically, it's free for everybody, right? These examples are everybody. Like, it's a good one, bad one. Just examples of when God says something, it's going to happen. We can start Adam and Eve. God promised them. He promised them. He said, if you eat of this tree, you will die that day. That's what happened. That's what happened. Committed the sex act, ate of the tree of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They died that day. Well, they lived 900 and something, under 1,000. Whatever number you want to say. Under 1,000. They died that day. That was a promise God had gave them, and he kept it. Children of Israel, 400 years to the day. They got that day. When they ate, when they were eating, God had prophesied to them. He said, keep your shoes on. When you make this Passover meal, keep your shoes on. Eat in haste. That was the prophecy he gave them the night that they were going to leave. They had no clue that they were leaving that night. They had no clue what was going on. Matter of fact, they weren't even keeping track of the days. If they knew what their present day was, they'd be looking forward to it. They say, this is 400 years to the day. We got to be able to leave. They didn't know that. We have the benefit of knowing our day. They didn't know that. But 400 years to the day. That night that death angel came, they didn't get to go to breakfast. That's why they had to eat that meal in haste. That was their last meal there. That was their last meal there. By the morning, they had to leave. They couldn't go another day. Not another meal. That was another promise. Oh, I love that. I even mentioned Joshua. Everywhere you step, the soles of your feet. That was a promise. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. This is what you got to do. Be strong and courageous. Keep going forward. But everywhere you step, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
God did that. Did Joshua have to bust the walls of Jericho down? No. Just marched around it and then rejoiced. And they fell. God still did that. Amen. Amen. Oh, my. God told Jonah he was going to preach to the people in Nineveh. He said that. Jonah, you are going to preach to the people in Nineveh. He didn't say the people in Nineveh need to be preached to. He said, Jonah, you're going to preach to the people in Nineveh. Jonah did what he wanted to do. Jonah still ended up in Nineveh. And he still preached to those people. That's what I said. God, whatever God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, you go back in time and go, hey, Jonah, how would you have rather got there? Probably bus, maybe. Walk. Should have took a different boat to a different side of the island. I probably should have just did what he said. I should have just did that, but it would have been a lot better, but I did it. These are just little things. Like, God always fulfills his promises, and it's like, he's going to do his part. I love how Brother Jeremiah brought that out. God's going to do his part, but you have to do your part. And I love even the examples that we get in here, because it's like, I rejoice in the fact that I made my choice to be here. Nobody can take that away from me. And you go, oh, you know, and that's why I even love the testimony he was talking about. Like, oh, I thought maybe this was like a lottery. Because, like, in my head, I thought, you know what? Maybe he just chose me. And, you know, I ain't had nothing to do with it. You know, he just chose me. Thank God. Whew. Sorry he didn't choose you. That ain't how it works. This is for everybody. Bad people, good people, black people, white people. This is for everybody. This revelation is for everybody. To everybody that believeth. That believeth. That rejoices in his appearing. That's who this is for. Amen. That's why we rejoice here. We're just simply believers. That's all we are. It makes more sense why Brother Branham was keep hammering that song in there. He was like, only believe, only believe, only believe. Brother Branham, we're going to do questions and answers. We're going to ask you 100 questions. How can I do it? How can I do it? I've already told you in the first song, only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe. He had to do that every time. Same song. That's his theme song. That was his soundtrack. If I could just get you to believe. That's what he would say to him. If I could just get you to believe. And then how did he finish it up? Not even cancer. That's what he said. If I could just get you to believe. All things are possible. This is a group of believers. This is a group of people that says, tell me some more about what he said.
Amen.
Maybe I want to waste some time and get you to quote the scripture. No, you don't need to. Just tell me what he said. Tell me what he said. I know the author. Tell me what he said. Oh, and there was a time Brother Branham was preaching, and he kept saying the word pulpit wrong. And a guy came to him and said, Brother Branham, you're saying this word wrong. Brother Branham, his dander got riled up a little bit. Like, you didn't tell me I'm saying. Because the guy said, hey, you're saying the word pulpit wrong, and it's affecting the people, and it's not God's word. He's talking to the prophet now. It got him a little bit upset. He even said, now they got my hair rubbed in the wrong direction, is what he said. Hey, Brother Branham. But I thought, you know, like, he said, got my hair. You said the word pulpit wrong. He's like, Brother Branham said, but I know, no matter how I'm saying the word, I know the author. Yeah. The author knows what I'm trying to say. And if you know the author, you know what I'm trying to say. That's like that child that was praying, and he was just saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. God knows what I'm trying to say. God knows what I need. He knows I don't have the words to put it together. I don't have the excellence of speech. I wasn't trained in some seminary. I wasn't trained in that. But I know he knows what I'm saying.
Amen.
And if you know him, you know what I'm saying. That's even what Jesus said to them. They said, well, we're of Abraham. He's our father. No, if Abraham was your father, you'd believe on whom he sent.
Right.
He believes the father of faith. You'd believe me.
Right.
Oh, my. That's us. Let's read another scripture. Read over here in John. John chapter 18, verse 37. Because I thought, man, you know, we always think about like, oh, people always say it's hard or it's easy or it's whatever. But I was raised for this. Right? Like, when you go back and look at how I was put together, and we all should be able to say this. I got the mic now. I mean, you all had your mic, but I got the mic now. But I'm speaking for us too, right? When you testify, you're speaking for us. I'm saying we all got this right now. But we all were born for this purpose. Like, you go back and check our history of what we had to come through, what we had to do, how God had to put us together, even our makeup, was for this hour. There's not a lot of people that could handle mentally what's going on in the world right now. It'll mess them up. But I was built for it. I was raised in it. Yeah, you know, I know what's going on here. I'm kind of like Moses being raised by Pharaoh. I know this world cosmos. I know what they're trying to do. I've been here long enough to see that they've got a flawed program. But I know that what I have on me is stronger than what they got. I was raised for this very purpose, to do this job. And that's what that scripture says over in John chapter 18, verse 37. And I'm going to read this here just real quick to say just how it says it in the Bible, because I love how it's worded. Let's read it here. Verse 37, and it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king, the king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is the truth heareth my voice.
Amen.
I was raised for this purpose. And not only me. There's other people that love this truth as well, that can hear me when I speak. You know, because we say, oh, the sleeping saints, they can hear us now. What are they hearing? Because it's not me yelling or the volume of the mic that they're hearing. They're hearing the word of God in this hour. They're hearing God speak to God. This is that deep calling to the deep. Oh, my. So I look at that, and that's last Sunday, and Pastor Moore and myself, and it got me to hear it, because I thought, you know, if you don't know what you're raised up for, you might be missing out on what your job is. Like, and it got me thinking about the story of Mordecai. You guys know that story of Mordecai and Esther. I think about, whenever I think about the name Esther, I think about one time we were having this party at my house. And nice, wonderful church function for all the people listening online. We were having a great party, and the whole church was there, and we're playing like Pictionary or something, Bible Pictionary. And every time we got to Esther, instead of saying like Mordecai, freeing the Jews, empowering the Jews, we didn't say that. We didn't say it because we were trying to answer the question as fast as possible. We didn't take a chance. We're like, Ramona's daughter. So everybody's like, Hannah. Naomi. Esther. Oh, we got it. Okay, next point. Go to the next thing. And then Pastor Moore eventually got mad at us because we did it like two or three times. He's like, y'all don't know now y'all Bible stories? That was Esther before it was Ramona's daughter. You should know who we're talking about right now, right? And it just got me thinking about it. But anyway, Mordecai went up to Esther, and he said, because Esther got to the point in her life where she was almost thinking, maybe I don't have to do my job. Like, maybe it's going to be too hard. Maybe if I go talk to the king, he'll kill me. Maybe it's not my place. Maybe I shouldn't say anything right now. Maybe I should just keep this to myself. Remember, I talked about how when the group is believers, everything changes. You know, Joshua's group, believers, everything changes. In this situation, Esther changed everything. She changed everything. By doing her job, she changed everything. Because if you go back and read the story, what was happening, there was the king was, you know, ruling and doing his thing, and Esther was his wife, and there came a decree to kind of take away the power from the Jews. Give them the ability, they couldn't defend themselves anymore. And so if somebody was going to go persecute a Jew, they basically had to just sit there and let it happen. That's walking you through it. And you can read all through it, but that's essentially what was going on. And they came to Esther and was like, hey, Esther, you're going to need to talk to the king. This is your people. You're a Jew. Like, don't act like, I mean, I know you got the crown on, but don't forget your people. This could be the only reason you're in this kingdom. And then Mordecai, the prophet, went to her and was like, hey, I'm going to give you the word of God, but his word is going to happen. Yeah. Esther, either you're going to do it or somebody else is going to do it. Amen. Because God has already told me this is going to happen. Esther had to look within herself. Amen. And say, okay, here's what I'm going to need you to do then. Pray. Pray. Pray for me. Matter of fact, even that first story that I told y'all about the kid with all the spirits, the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, how'd you cast that devil out? He said, some of them you got to pray and fast on. You got to pray on these things. Some of the harder ones you need to pray a little bit. You're going to have to take a little time. You need to step into this. You got to work for it. That's what even Jesus said to the disciples. That's what Esther had to say to Mordecai. Mordecai came and go to that news. She said, okay, well, if that's going to be the thing, because in those days, if the king didn't like you, there wasn't no like, hey, you know, let's break up. This ain't working out. You go back to your house, go to my house, and how the world dates. That's it. That wasn't it. That wasn't the case. It was you're dead. You've embarrassed me in front of my people. You walked in front of here, broke traditions. Because she went against all those traditions. Coming to see the king, you had to be called to see the king. When you go back and read the story, you had to be called to see the king. You didn't make appointments with the king. He made them with you. Amen. Even the queen had to wait to be summoned. And to break that would be breaking the traditions, breaking the law, breaking all the things you think to do what God asked you to do. Amen. Esther went up there and talked to that king. He said, oh, I'll give you anything you want. Good to see you today. Yeah. All right, changed everything. Yeah. He got a little bit more confidence. She said, well, okay. Good to see you too. I'd like. Let's make this quick. They're praying for me. And then if I'm going to die, I might as well do it now. I'd like this to happen. And he said, okay. That was just that. That's her doing her job. Amen. She empowered all the Jews to resist against persecution. That was one person doing their job that freed the group. Amen. This group right now is empowered. Not just for us to get up. Even our eternal life is not even just for us. It's for others. It's so that we can get them up. Oh, saints. Amen. Do you see that just believing? I mean, and you go, okay, well, what did Esther really have to do? Nothing. She didn't physically free those Jews. She just had to believe the word of God and stand out on it. Just step out on it. Talk to the king. Hey, here's what I'd like. She didn't physically do something. She didn't change anything. She couldn't control the king's attitude. Couldn't control any of those things. All she had to do was believe the word of God and do what God had asked her to do. Amen. Everything else was taken care of. See, what I'm getting at is, like right now in our life, God will ask us to do something, and you'll want to wait it out. See what can happen. Take this. Just move out on it. Just believe him. Just trust God. Just believe God. What I'm looking at, I'm like, as believers, We should have the same mentality as people that want to sing a song and the song leader. I let him sit me down. I got a song every service. Let him sit you down. If God's telling you to move as fast as you can. Let him slow you down. Let the pastor come and say, oh, hold on now. Listen to the whole instructions. You only got part one. Yeah, start moving, right? I'm just telling you from experience. That's what I see even in the elders. When God asks them to do something, they just start moving. They've been with God so long that they're like, He'll figure it out. God will figure it out. I don't have to figure it out. He'll figure it out. If I need something, He'll provide it. If I need this, He'll give it. Just believe and trust God. And you go, well, I need to see something. What else do you need to see? Right? What else do you need to see? Because there's like levels to this, right? So there was, take a swig of water here and go in here. Because I even told him over in Little Bethlehem, I love Bible stories. I just love them. Because, I mean, you can see them and you can see how people think, and it's just fun to watch. But anyway, so I thought about, let's look at this Bible story talking about Jairus, or I say his name wrong, Jairus. So there's levels. There's like three levels. You got Jairus, who was a minister in a synagogue. He believed Jesus, heard about all the healing that he was doing, and Jairus had a daughter that was sick. And his daughter died. Now, I know we talk about Lazarus, but his daughter died. And Jairus is like, I know Jesus can save her. If he just come and touch her, he just healed that lady with the blood issue. If he just put his hand on her, take care of her. Jesus, lay your hands on her. That's level one. That's good to believe. I'm just telling you how we progress through this thing. That's good in the start. That's almost being spoon-fed. Come here and you do it. Come here and you touch him. Then there's level two. You got the centurion, the soldier. So I know how authority works. I know how leadership works. If you just say the word, that's still not you doing it. A little bit more faith, though, right? Jesus loved that. He said, I've not seen greater faith in all of the land. The centurion said, if you just say the word, my child will be healed. Then you don't even have to come to my house. Because Jesus was like, I'll come with you. I'll go to your house. You don't even have to come there. I'm not even worthy for you to be there. Just say the words and I know it'll be taken care of. That's level two. That helps. That's good. But there's got to come a point where I don't need you to spoon feed me this anymore. There's got to come a point where the God that you have is the God that I have. When you say my God, I can say my God, and we're talking about the same person. When I say he's got it and you say he's got it, we're talking about the same thing. There's got to come a point where all this believing has to do something for you to take you as a progress, a progressive ministry, something that grows. You tell me there's a seed on the inside of you, it should be growing to the point where you're on level three, so to speak, where it's you call to the winds, you call to the storm, you speak to the spirits, you say to be healed. That's what it's got to get to. You're going to take of mine and take it to yours. This message can't be one-sided. This relationship can't be one way. Amen. It's got to be a deep calling to the deep. Those are terms we hear. These are things that you use. But there has to be a God on the inside of you that starts acting. Amen. That stands on the promises when nobody else wants to stand. When we say the term, we'll say a term and say, if anybody from Fairborn is going to make it, that's got to be real.
Amen.
That's got to be real, because just when we talk about people making choices and people doing this or thinking we won a lottery and that, there's people that are born and raised in this church that don't go here anymore.
That's right.
So being born on this golden ticket with this silver spoon won't do anything.
Amen.
It won't do anything. It may help you in your adolescence, but when you become of age, when you can make decisions for yourself, when the rubber meets the road, that choice that you make, that's individual for everybody, no matter what kind of background you come from. You can say, well, I was in the streets, in the gutter. Okay, you can be raised by the Brinkmans. It don't matter. Any end of the spectrum, you got to make a choice to follow this thing for yourself.
Amen.
That's what matters. That's the only thing. That's what Free Moral Agency is all about, is that you simply believe and you stand out on it. Oh, my, my, my. See, we get too much word for anybody to even have an excuse on why they can't stand them.
That's right.
Amen. You know, as I was growing up in this thing, I'd always think, man, if that person would just have seen the next service, right? Like, I don't know, maybe I don't know, I'm throwing this out there, but maybe we're preaching on women and not wearing pants. It's just a rule, right? I'm saying that one. We're preaching that, and somebody gets their feelings hurt. Huh. That's all I have is pants. I can't wear anything else.
Everything else is uncomfortable. It's cold, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm an adult. You're an adult. You know what women say when they don't want to wear a dress. Right? It's cold. The dresses are cold. Blah. It's uncomfortable. I only have one of them. Blah. I don't know. And they walk away. The next service. The next service. Like literally the next service. Come in and say, come as you are. Present your body as a willing sacrifice. Wear the best you have. If the best you have is that, wear what you have. Let God provide the rest. If just you do your best. Now, if your best is some Nike shorts and flip-flops and a tank top, that'll work the first service. That's your best. And as a body, we'll see that you don't have a lot, and we'll chip in. Right? We'll help you out. That's on anything. You can say, oh, I need a ride to church. I need gas money. Throw it in the list. I'm just using clothes right now. But all those things are applicable. But I'm saying the body will help you out. God will help you out. And if God doesn't think you need any more clothes, you won't get any more. You'll keep wearing that same thing, and that'll be your best, and be content with it, and we're content with it, and do your thing. Don't let anything get in the way of you worshiping, serving God. That's the balance. That's the balance. And that's the balance that I think, I'm like, oh, man, if they would have just listened to one more service, they would have had balance. But that ain't how it works. That ain't how it works. And I got to be like Jesus got to the point where he said, why can't you hear my words? Like, I can be up here preaching, and you can be like, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't. And for me, I'm like, I've lived this for over 40 years. I've been alive for over 40 years. I've been able to witness and see God move in my life every year. I can go back to my birth and go, he had to do it that way. That's what made me this who I am. He had to put me in the home that he put me in, had to surround me with the brothers that he surrounded with me, had to put me in the family that he put me in. Do you know I'm hard-headed? I have to be. Because if I wasn't, it's part of it. It's part of it. Being like I am, the makeup that I have, it keeps me from having a wondering eye on about what other churches are doing. I'm so stubborn that I'm like, God already told me. I don't even want to hear another option. That's how stubborn I am. But I need to have that so I can stay here. That's what keeps me. That stubbornness, that willingness to stick through it, those are all things that I learned in my youth. Those are all good things. They help me. Yeah. Thank God for using them. And you know what? He can take somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum. Now, Isaiah is my brother, so I'm going to use him tonight. He can take somebody that is flighty, bounces around, goes different places, wheels under them all the time, just moving, right, wheels under them, thank you. Wheels under them, that's the word I want to use. He's got wheels under him. And say, I know what I'll do. I'll make it such that you get around the body and you don't even know it. I'll make you go sell some products to this old guy in Fairborn. How would you get to Fairborn from Hawaii if you weren't have wheels on you? How would you? Had to use it. Even who he works with, how he works. All those things are used, right? They're used. God uses them. So you go, well, you can be stubborn and da-da-da-da, or you can have wheels. Either one, God's going to use it. I just need you to be you so I can be me so we can worship God together and get out of here. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing right now. We're just waiting to get out of here. Oh, well, Brother Jay, are you doing this? Are you doing that? No, I'm laying aside every weight. Every weight that so easily besets me. I'm laying aside, oh, I got to know so much. There's not another scripture I got to know to get out of here. Oh, I got to do so much. There's nothing I need to do. I've made it. I'm here. I've made it. Oh, and you go, well, what about tomorrow? Well, tomorrow I'll take care of yourself. That's what Jesus said. I made it through today. Brother Self was talking about what you had to do to get here. You name it. We all had to do it. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Nobody lives here. Everybody had to come from somewhere to get here. That's as simple as you can make it. We all had to go through something to get here. So for that, I'm thankful that I want to be here. Right? Like when Satan tries to battle me with this, oh, you're not good enough to do that. Oh, you're not good enough to do that. But I made it to church when everybody else didn't want to go. I believe God when everybody doesn't know God's real. I worship in spirit and truth when people don't even know where to worship. I serve God and I can see him face to face. When people see God as an unknown force, I know where God is. Amen. You want to take that away from me? No. No. I know too much now. I know too much. Oh, my. Brothers and sisters, we're blessed.
I mean, there's so many things that we can look at and things that we can take. But when you break it all the way down, it's just simply believing the Word of God. That's it. And you, well, Brother Jay, that's hard. That can be hard for some people. It's not hard for a believer. It's not hard for a believer. Even when I look back on my life, like, oh, how much do you know? How much do you see? I've never once had to study this thing. Now, I study the Word of God to be ready to preach. But even that, God can do whatever He wants, right? Like, He can make the tablet not work. He can do anything He wants. If I start looking at my notes too much, He can make an elder yell out, get from behind that pulpit. Move a little bit. Speak by inspiration. We don't want to hear your notes. If I start reading too long, an elder can get up and say, we all got Bibles. We can see it for ourselves. Just preach. Right? That's checks and balances. But you got to be open. There's other people, when they hear that, they shut down. The elder will say, hey, get off that pulpit. And they go, well, I don't have anything to say anymore. Not me. I'm like, you're right. Let's go somewhere else. I still got the Word of God in me. When you squeeze me, you're going to get the Word of God. When I'm embarrassed, when I'm sad, when I'm upset, you're going to get the Word of God. When I'm happy, when I got everything fulfilled, you're still going to get the Word of God. You get me in my darkest set, and I'm still going to give you the Word of God. You set me in high places, you're still going to get the Word of God. So if I'm preaching and I get embarrassed, guess what you're going to get? The Word of God. I get up here and they correct me, you're still going to get the Word of God. Only what's in me is coming out. So when somebody else hears it and they get timid and they back down, sorry, I was raised for this very purpose. I've been rebuked. I've been corrected. I've been spanked. I've been whatever you want to put on it. I've had hot fire and cold fire. I've had anything. I've had quick services and long services. Right? I'm just telling you how I was raised. That makes me able to handle this. When other people will shirk their responsibilities, I can't help but say, what else do you need me to do? When other people say, oh, I've given all I can give, I say, I can give more. I can give more. God, you've given me too much for me to want to hold back anything. He's been blessing us over and over and over and over again. And for people not to see these blessings, you're blind, not me. I see the blessings. Oh, we always talk about blessings, and everybody can talk about what God's done for them. But I've seen God heal stuff that shouldn't be healed. Right? And I'm going to go a different direction with this. Because we, you know, I praise God for the healings of the cancer and the stroke. That's amazing. Somebody had throat cancer and that's going to heal. Pastor Moore said one time, he said, I want that brother to come here and say something to us himself. And we got to see that. I mean, you got to witness that happen. That wasn't some anomaly. The preacher said, I want to see him here for myself. Brother don't even live in this state. He never comes to our services. He came here and was like, hey, I just wanted to share with you guys. Thank you for praying for me. I don't even know if he heard Pastor Moore give that prophecy. But it was fulfilled before your very eyes. Now, we all got 100 other examples. But I'm just going to focus on that one because that's taped. That's recorded. You can Google it. You can look that up. I can talk about my healings, but unless you know me, you don't have to believe them. It's okay. You have no way to look it up. But that happened. You can look that up. There's people that will see that and go, that's just a fluke. I'm like, okay. Explain that one away. I've seen cancer fall off. Maybe they never had cancer. Okay. I've seen marriages healed. Now that to me is better than a broken bone being mended. Because if you leave a bone by itself, it'll mend on its own. But you've got some issues in your marriage, that don't heal on its own. You can't just go to sleep every night and think that's going to work it out. You might not even get to sleep in that same house. Right? I'm just telling you how disagreements work with adults. You might not even get to sleep in that same house. I've seen God work marriages out. That to me is more of a miracle than cancer. Cancer is a cell that's acting up. It can be deleted, burned off, taken out, cut away. But a marriage is supposed to be till death do you part. And if it starts going to separate ways, that looks like that's going to not be till death do you part. I've seen God mend marriages. I've seen God put them back together and make them better than they were originally. Not just fix them, heal them. Not just put them back together, but make them have love. I seen a sister come from Kentucky and she said, I want that love restored. Oh. Oh, that's a prayer. Amen. That's a miracle. Amen. That's something nobody can say. And that, you know what? And the people that didn't happen to them, they're going to be just like all the other naysayers do when we say cancer was healed. We've seen somebody come back from the dead. You can explain it away. I've seen biopsies show this and not show that. Eventually, you're going to have to agree with something. You can't just keep explaining away everything. I've seen people that not be able to have babies have babies. I've seen people that didn't think they would get married get married. I've seen it all. I've seen people pray for a gender of a baby, and it happened. Woo, woo, woo. What you gonna do now when you got a group of people that's seen that?
Amen.
I'm not like Moses' group that saw all of those miracles and fell off. I'm like Joshua's group that saw those miracles and thought, oh, I can do a little bit more then. Oh, I can step out a little bit more. I can move a little bit faster now. Oh, and we talk about that story, but I love talking about it. Talking about Joshua when they walked in that water. Woo! That turns me on. I can quote that story till I'm blue in the face. Moses' group, when they got to the water, they started crying. Why'd you bring us out here to die? Why do we got to go here? What's going on there? I wish we were slaves again. That's Moses' group. When they got to the water, they had just got freed. 400 years to the day. Had the Passover night. Had the death angel come. Saw all the plagues. Got to the first place. The first obstacle. The first one. That was the first obstacle. Stopped. Oh. Whoa. Moses, how long you lived in the area? You didn't know where we were going? You walked all the way to the Red Sea, bub. You brought us out here to die. Moses, start listening to that majority. The majority again. It wasn't a group of believers. Yeah. Lord, what do you want me to do? You told me to go north. I've done what you said. Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak the word and go forward. That's Moses' group. But Joshua's group. See, that's why I love talking about it. Joshua's group got to the water, and Joshua was like, we're going to the other side. Let's go. Water never receded. They just started walking through it. Splash, 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 splash. Priests in front, leadership there. Everything kept right locked in step. Oh, it was perfect. Never doubt it. If we drown, so be it. That's where we're supposed to die. My God is able. He'll resurrect us if we need to. But Joshua said, let's go forward, and that's what we're doing. Started walking that thing out. The water was like, hold on. We were going to part. Give me a minute, jeez. You didn't want to hold up your hand or something? Right? They had to go across some dry land. But I praise God that it's a group of believers now. That when God says move, we just start moving. Let the water take care of itself. Let the situations take care of itself. Let the mind issues take care of itself. The financial issues take care of itself. Let just go of it and go forward with God said. Just be strong and courageous is what he was told Joshua to do. That's this group. That's what we're called to do. We just trust and believe God. So when you say standing on the promises, I can't help but stand on the promises. I was built for this. I was made for this very purpose. Oh, my. Saints, when you look at all the stuff that we get in here, blessed beyond. I mean, I feel like how Jesus, when he said it, and we quote this a lot, but when Jesus said it, he said, I'm going to say this out loud so they can hear me, that when I pray, you always answer me. Always answer me. That's what Kara's saying to AJ. When I pray, God always hears me. He always hears me. I'll pray out loud so you can hear that what I'm asking for is about to show up. I'm building your faith too. Pray like I pray, AJ. Say it like I'm saying it. Our Father, which art in heaven. Start like that, right? But that's beautiful. Because I know without a doubt whether he wants it to or not, it's building his faith. He's looking like, well, maybe Kara can just go to the Lord and ask. I was praying for something, but think about this promotion, Kara. You might want to throw this on your list to pray about, right? That's just building his faith until it gets to him. Right. It's fine with me. That's what happens to all of us. I come in here and I see you living. I'm like, okay. I see how they're taking care of their kids. I can do that. I want my kids to be quiet during service. I'm going to follow what they're doing. Oh, I want a togetherness like they have in their home. I'm going to do like they're doing. All right. We would do, every now and again, I would sit beside Miss Courtney in restaurants just because I saw Lois and Danny doing it. I saw that togetherness and I was like, oh my gosh. That's amazing. Now, it's beautiful. It's not practical. Just throwing that out there. Trying to eat, and you're like, okay. Right? Like, I love you too, but I'm really hungry. Right? Like, so that's just being a person, right? It's like trying to hold hands on a hike. It's like, okay, it's sweet, but I got to walk. Like, we're going uphill. I'm going to need right? Like, that's what it is. But you got to do it to be romantic and sweet and all that stuff. That's the human nature. But I'm just telling you guys, that's how this thing works. But I'm looking at everything that we get in here. God is just keep opening things to us. And the body just keeps moving faster and faster and faster. And that's beautiful to see. I mean, that's just beautiful to see because the whole group is moving. It's not one person getting it and thinking they're a teacher and going out. It's the whole group moving. It's the whole group moving. You can hear it even in the testimonies. They're like, I was thinking about this a little bit more. I was reading that a little bit more. The group is getting more confident. But we're getting more confident in the Word, not necessarily ourselves. I'm not any better a singer than I was when I started out, right? But I know more songs. They mean more to me. I sing them throughout the day more, right? Those are the changes. My ability to sing didn't change. But how I apply the songs, that's way different. It's way different. When I sing God a smile on me, I know He smiled on me. I know He smiled on me. He set me free. And then I think about the bondage that I was in, the unknowing, the unknown. What was going to happen? Do you know there's people that go to church and don't know what's going to happen to their loved ones? It's an anomaly for you because you've been in this bright light for a long time. But there's people that go to church regularly, 40, 50, 60 years, and are still worried about their kids. They don't know. They're like, I hope little Johnny makes it. I want to see him darken the church doors. And he's got to come to this church. And then he's got to do that. And then when he gets here, we want to see him, you know, work his way up the ladder. I want to see him become an altar boy, and then a choir boy, and then a deacon. Then I'll know he's got it. These are churches. That's out there. But in here, you could be ready for the journey after the first service. You could be ready to go after the first service. Just believe. Just believe the Word of God. That's it. So all these things that happen, all the blessings that we get, I just praise God for them. I praise God for the freedom that we get in here. I just praise God for the freedom, right? To just simply be able to believe the Word of God, that's the freedom that we have. Unencumbered by any other traditions. There's not a special place to sit. There's not a high tithing office. There's not a low tithing section. There's not a black section. There's not a white. There's not a kids only section. This is just believers. Sit me beside some believers. We'll figure it out. That's all we want. There's no assigned seats. There's none of that. None of those things that can distract you. You just come in here and serve God with the freedom to just simply serve Him. And knowing that if I need to be corrected, I trust that I'm going to get corrected. I'll get corrected. I won't go too fast. I won't go too slow. I won't go off too far to the left or the right. The Word is a corrector. I come to the house of correction. I should never be surprised when I get corrected. I came here for that. But I look at all these things and everything that God's been giving us, but that scripture, just all things are possible. We just simply believe. That's it. Just believe. That's it. That's all we're called to do. Matter, it even says, like, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. But you have to believe to have faith to even be able to please God. Believing is the first step. Hey, you won't even hear from God until you start believing God. Oh, my. Anyway, saints, I love y'all. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
How simple it is. We make it hard. We make it difficult. We make it so hard that we think, I don't know if I can do this. Do what? What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, God's going to take care of everything. All He wants you to do is to believe Him. That's all. That's all He's ever asked for. That's all He ever wanted. We try to make a job out of it. You know, we're going to come to church, we're going to hear the Word, and we're going to believe this thing, and it's going to just change us and make us, and all of a sudden it's going to bloom from the inside, and everything's going to be so great, and I'll be a whole new person, and I'll love everybody, and I'll do this until I go in the rapture. Wrong. You're going to believe the Word of God, and then you're going to have to fight. Because everything within you is going to rebel against the revelation. You're going to fight your own mind. You're going to fight your brothers and sisters. You're going to fight your family. You're going to fight everybody. You think, oh, I thought this thing should be easy once you believe. No. You just begun. Because you have to claim every step of the way. You got to believe all the way home. You can't just start believing in it. That's like having a quarter tank of gas and trying to go somewhere. You ain't going to get far. You got to keep filling up. You got to keep putting on it. You got to keep adding to it. You know, build your faith and then put fire, put some wood on that thing.
Yeah.
I don't care how you might come in here and you just burn. Oh, this is the greatest thing. I'm just going to be just a hallelujah, the best saint there is. And that lasts about a week. You just burn out. Have you ever burnt cardboard? You throw that wood on the fire and it's halfway wet and it's not looking good and you know you work it and you finally get a little flame. But cardboard, you throw that on there, you don't even have to put it on the bottom. Just you don't have to look, just throw it. And that thing will flame up so fast, poof. But you know what? It only lasts a minute. Then it's gone. But with a fire, you gotta keep putting on it. Keep building on it and keep. And I want to tell y'all something I was just thinking about tonight. I sat there and I was thinking, you know, this church is something else. Now, normally, if somebody got up and said they found no cancer, that's the end of the service. In my apostolic church, we'd have shut the house down. It'd have been done. It'd been over. Tell them a man who had a major stroke, who was not even supposed to live, is being moved to rehab. Just that one would have tore a church up. We couldn't. These benches would be turned upside down. But y'all hungry eagles, Y'all don't really care about healing. Y'all don't care about, I mean, you care, but you don't. I mean, I said, now look. And you might as well have got up there and said, you know what? I put on 2 black shoes today. That's about how enthused y'all were. I mean, but what that showed me, when I was sitting there thinking, I said, you know, in the day of the prophet, they had to drag people across the country to him, or drag him across the country to the people, or they had to do this, they had to do that. We just send a prayer cloth. We just pray as a body. So the faith that people are looking for is here. And we are so past healings. Not that we don't get them. We get them, but we're like, okay, thank God. Now get us the preacher. You know, healing won't get a body change. That's children's bread. And I looked at y'all tonight, and I was like, it's like hitting a speed bump. Just slow down a little bit. And then he moved on to the word, which is the way it should be. Brother Branham even said, he said, I got to give time to the word. I don't have time to do all these other things. And you know, I think the bride is at a place now where she can now do the greater works. She can do the believe for the healings, get the healings, and move on. Because the thing is the body change. You're not going to get the body change by healing. So when y'all hear the healings, you're like, yeah. Sit down. Yeah, that's good. Yes, but it doesn't take away from the healing. Thank God for them. It's part of it. But we're not majoring on a minor anymore. And that's beautiful. That tells me a lot about the growth of the church. That we can have the healings. We can have the answers to prayers. God can move. He can get rid of cancer. He can open blinded eyes. He can do all these things. And if he does, thank God. If he doesn't, thank God. But we want the word.
Amen.
Because the body change will take care of it all.
Amen.
And that's why I got tickled. Yes, you believe. You believe in healing. You can believe in so much when it happens. We're so used to it around here. We're like, Yeah. Sit down. You're blocking my view. Yeah. Sit down. Okay. Get onto the word. But that's not a bad thing. That's where the bride should be. The emphasis is on the revelation of the word. Now, when you hear the word of God coming forth, You say, my, I never heard it like that in my life. My, I didn't look at it like that. My, I heard scriptures that I didn't ever hear before. Now I understand what I didn't understand. Things are making sense now that never made. Now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting somewhere. And that's the believers. That's who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with people who are hearing the Word of God, and God's coming lip to ear, explaining Himself in such a way that you look at the Bible like you never heard it before.
Amen.
You're understanding Scriptures like you never understood. Understanding the Godhead like you never understood. Realizing that you're a part of the Godhead. Realizing that the body won't get up without you.
Amen.
That's where our faith is lying. Oh, the faith is lying in the body change. And we're minoring on healing. Thank God for it. But if I get it or don't, I ain't worried about that. Preach me the body change. The body change is going to take care of everything. And that's where we are. That's what we know. And that's why we're the oddest group of people there is on the face of the earth. Because everybody else is looking for everything else. And we got everything else off the plate. Saying, you know what? Preach me the rapture. And we talk about a lot of things. But all that's part of the rapture. Because it's all revelation of the Word of God. And then when you hear the Word of God, you simply believe it. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to push it up. You don't have to pump you up. You don't have to put chairs out here and tell your grandmother prayed for you and try to get your heart broken so you'll come and give your heart to God. No, we just preach the Word. And if you can receive the Word, if you can only believe, if you can just believe the Word of God, then you can have anything and everything you need. But it'll be one service at a time, one word at a time. When God says something, you just say, I believe it. And you come back to church and you say something else, I believe that too. And you come back and then, I believe that too. And you'll find that everything God says, you believe. You know why? Because you are a believer. That's who you are. Everybody else struggles with it. They'll come here and they'll hear it, and they'll squint their eyes, and they'll turn their head, and they'll cross their arms, and they'll try to take notes, and they're trying to figure this out, and it's like, no, God didn't ask you to take a lesson, and this is not something that you're going to be taught. He wants you to come here and hear the Word, and then He'll quicken it to you. He has to do that too. And once He does that, the believers will just say, I believe it. And will you understand everything when you first hear it? No. Because there's a whole lot of pieces that go with it. But the thing is, as God gives you service after service, these pieces go together. There's some of us been sitting here with pieces on the shelf for years. And Don said the other day, he said, after we started talking about this last series, he said everything fell off the shelf. Things we've had on the shelf for 40 years fell off the shelf because it all fell into place.
Right.
Now we understand how God can change His mind. Yeah. Now we understand how God can have compassion. Right. Now we understand how Elohim cannot change His mind about His Word, and how that God is the manifestation of everything that was in His mind.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, now everything's falling into place. Now we read a scripture that we've read and read these Bible stories that we've read, and it's like, oh, I felt like I never read this before. Like I said Sunday, when I looked over there and I saw where they never got any more manna after they got in the promised land, so many things fell into place. I thought, oh my goodness. But it's believing God. If thou can believe. That's it. Not if you can quote it back. Not if you can explain it. What happens with a believer is that when they hear God speak, there's something on the inside of them that says, you know, that makes sense to me. I can explain it. And you won't be able to explain it when you first understand it. But you'll understand what you hear and you'll say, that just makes sense. And then the more you come, the more you'll say, that makes sense. And that's how the puzzle gets put together. So just only believe. We're going to sing Only Believe as we get ready to go. Come on, musicians. Don't forget the announcements. Come back Sunday, please. Sunday's the dinner. You know, I figure we'll have a Thanksgiving dinner with us, our family, because that's who we are. Everybody else is going to eat with their family. I want to eat with my family. One big dinner table. You never know. Sunday we might step back through that door to go to dinner, and that table spreads for as far as you can see. There is coming a supper. There is coming a supper. And our whole family's going to be there. You might think it's just going to be here to there. Oh, my Lord. I wouldn't turn down that supper. You go in there, oh, wouldn't that be something else? Open up the door to the kitchen and see it just go on. Remember, Brother Brennan was laying in his bed, and he looked and he saw the rolling hills. And it just went on as far as he could see. And he looked back and he saw himself laying on a bed like this. And he said, well, I'm not dead. But he had moved dimensions. A dimension ain't so far away. You can get in the right place at the right time in the right mindset, and that's the right mindset. One marriage, one big long table. I was just thinking that, Jeremiah. Before you said that, I was thinking, my, if we could just, that could just be the supper. But then you said that, and that just fit right in what I was thinking in my head. So I'm like, oh my goodness. Only believe, people. Only believe. Yes, only believe that all things are possible if you only believe. Yes, yes, only believe that all things are possible. Only, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. That all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, I only believe. Yes,
dismissed.